G.K. Chesterton was a writer and a thinker and a spiritual theologian who was in his prime about 100 years ago. He lived in England and is famous for converting from Anglicanism to Catholicism. Chesterton didn't so much notice the peculiarity of things in life as much as he proclaimed the peculiarity of things in life, and in particular, faith. He once wrote, "Christianity has not been tried and left wanting. Really, Christianity has been mostly difficult and left untried." He also once wrote about Italy, "The sort of man who admires Italian art while despising Italian religion is just a tourist." So he had this way of seeing things that seem so unremarkable in the most remarkable ways. Another one of my favorites was his line, "We don't really want a religion that's right when we're right. We really want a religion that's right when we're wrong." He wrote this a century ago, and it's as true today as it was then. This first Sunday of Lent, our entree into the 40 days of coming to grips with what's gone wrong in our lives and what must be brought back into God's rightness. I don't know why, but I've always loved Lent. It's like my favorite season of the year, probably because Lent is so dramatic. Ash Wednesday is pretty dramatic. "From dust you have come, and to dust you are going." I mean, have you really listened to the story of the stations of the cross? It's pretty dramatic. An innocent man is put to death, rejected by his friends, and of course, rejected by his own country. 40 days in the desert is pretty dramatic. The desert is a rough place. There's nowhere to hide in the desert. All can be seen, and all is on the line when you're in the desert. Pope Benedict would call the desert the place of the absolute. We go there thinking that it will be a place of nothingness, but in fact, the opposite ends up being true. The desert is really the place of the infinite. It's vast. You can see for what seems forever. This is why it's the place that most resembles God. Lent pulls us out of the ordinary reality of traffic and Starbucks and CNN versus Fox, and it opens us up to a broader perspective. Lent opens us up to God's vision of things. Now, I need Lent. I suspect the same might be true for you. I mean, think about our world. Las Vegas, Sutherland Springs, and now this week, Parkland, Florida. Things are going wrong here. It's harder and harder to recognize politicians from either side who just want to lead like good politicians. By the way, war continues in Syria, and corruption and violence still cripples drug cartel-controlled border towns, even though we don't hear much about it anymore, which may well be the most tragic aspect of these tragedies. Our own city, we continue to struggle dealing with the widening gap between wealthy and poor, citizens and immigrants, people who live in lovely homes and people who don't have homes. You get the idea. Things are going wrong here. Maybe this is why Lent, at least for me, is an important wake-up call. Chesterton was correct. We need some right time for all the times we've been wrong. Time to consider our sins. Time to consider our bad habits. Time to consider how we treat each other. husbands and wives, parents and children, brothers and sisters, employees and bosses, people with money and people who are poor, people on the left and people on the right, people who believe and people who don't believe. Lent is the right time to correct what's wrong in our lives. And we know the drill by now. Prayer, fasting, giving things up, almsgiving. These are the classics, the quality identifiers of a holy Lent. But as we all know, even these acts of virtue and penance can become matter of fact and even comical if they don't result in anything. What we do for Lent must only be done in as much as it relates to other people. I'm going to say that again. This is important. What we do for Lent must only be done in as much as it relates to other people. It's not about what I will do for a Holy Lent. It must be about what we will do for a Holy Lent. Whatever it is that you've chosen to do this Lent, it must help other people's lives. It must make other people's lives better. What you've chosen to give up, fasting, however much money you set aside to give to the poor, the prayer time you're going to log in the Adoration Chapel, it can't be about you. It has to be about others. There must be some evidence that it's making someone else's life better. I mean, just doing it for you becomes idolatry, navel-gazing, pious self-help. I mean, think about Mass. If Mass is just for you, if it has no effect on how you see or treat the world, when you leave the walls of this building, when Deacon Al says, go and announce the gospel, if it doesn't change your life, how we treat each other, then it becomes what I've been saying over and over. Just play Mass. Mass and Lent must pull us out of ourselves and connect us to others and the world in right relationship. Pope Francis, just on Friday, 2 days ago, in his daily Mass homily, he put it about as basically as it could possibly be put. He said, does my fast help others? If it doesn't, then it's just fake. Now, this is tough. It's a tough message. Pope Francis is tough. By the way, he's toughest on the priests. But what he says is so true, and we all know it. We heard on Wednesday, when you fast, wash your face, comb your hair, don't neglect your appearance. Fasting must make us look better, not worse. Fasting must make us happier, not bitter, kinder, not meaner. Fasting must make the lives of others better. If not, then there's a disconnect. Only a small part of the fasting is about the person actually doing the fasting. Fasting is about our ability to reach beyond ourselves, to recognize that there's someone else here besides just me. It pulls us out and helps us to begin to make what is wrong in our relationships right. We're called during Lent to give things up. I get it. Ice cream, chocolate, Cokes. I'll lose that weight I need to lose. You'll save the money you need to lose by not buying those caramel macchiatos. This isn't what giving things up is all about. Besides the biblical mandate to give something up, Adam and Eve in the garden were given everything that God had made for their use except what was on the tree in the middle of the garden. They had to give that up. And as such, you and I are called to refrain from something too. We might say that giving up is part of our human identity from as far back as the garden. And our giving something up, it has to make someone else's life better. How? The money you spend at Starbucks, $5 a day in some cases, that money needs to go to someone else. 40 days of Lent, $5 a day, that's $200 for someone in much greater need than you. This is what we call almsgiving. It's wrong that our society allows people to struggle with poverty. This is something that has gone wrong. That kind of struggle isn't dignified. And people are created to be dignified. We pay our own bills. We buy food. We provide for our families. We get an education. We buy clothes and go on vacation. Well, poor people aren't able to have these things that mark a dignified life. And that's just wrong. Almsgiving helps us make right what has gone wrong for so many people. Again, Chesterton's words. We don't want a religion that's right only when we're right. We need a religion that's right when we've gone wrong. This is what Lent is all about. We don't need Lent because our lives are perfect. We need Lent because our lives are imperfect. There's enough fake news out there. We've got to be careful that our fasting doesn't become fake too. Careful not to let our prayer become fake. Careful that our charity doesn't become fake. Really, we need to be careful that we're not just playing Lent. So opening ourselves to others makes our fasting true fasting. Giving something up that makes someone else's life more dignified makes it true charity. If we can turn away from fake prayer, fake fasting, fake charity, and turn instead to true acts of Lenten virtue, then we might just experience a holy Lent. And so much that has gone wrong with our lives might actually begin to become right with our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.